Hello everyone, my name is Jen Torres and I am a God, and so are you. Like many of you, I was raised to believe that if I just prayed hard enough, God would save me. As it turns out, that was actually true. I saved me. At the age of 15, I became pregnant with a beautiful baby girl who dropped in just in time to save my miserable life. This was my first awakening. This podcast is about all of the words and listening to those words to begin to envision what is possible. Because sometimes, as individuals, we feel we need to know everything, have it all together, and be everything all of the time. But that's why we live in a world filled with other people. Each person holds a piece of the puzzle. It's about being open to new information, new ideas, and new perspectives. We're going to talk about all of the topics surrounding what it takes for you to step into your God-Goddess journey with me as we uncover all things living self-actualized and in your inherent divine God state. This podcast is about doing whatever it takes to develop and nourish the God in you. Well, hello everyone and welcome to another brand new episode of the She's a God podcast. My name is Jen Torres. I'm the host of this show and a certified human design reader. Welcome to the show. So today's episode is all about being resilient, but to a fault. So this is something I found that many people like me and many people who I've worked with or been around or just experienced on IG or something like that have in common, where there's this ability to be super resilient, but almost to a fault. So what do I mean by that? When I talk about being resilient, first and foremost, I have to honor the fact that being resilient is a gift, right? It's like amazing gift to have, to be resilient AF. However, it's can become to a fault, which is the purpose of me giving this episode, to kind of decipher when and kind of give advice and almost tips to know when it's gone too far. But I do want to hit on the fact that being resilient is a gift. It is the ability to adapt. It's the ability to rise when most people would fail. It's the ability to pivot if something is not going right in your life. It requires grit, determination, ultimately like a strength of spirit is really what I want to say. It's this inner fire, this like fire in your belly that lights the F up when you realize that this is not the vibe. And you're like, no, like I refuse that this is my reality and I'm going to shift this mother effer right now. It's kind of that feeling of wanting to get something done no matter what. It can have, what I also noticed too, is it can have this ability to have a strong nervous system in high stress environments where like when something's going wrong, instead of freaking out, it's the ability to find the solution. And it's almost like something switches on in your brain or in your energy field. That's like, okay, let's just figure it out. Like, let's figure out what is the best solution to this problem rather than freaking out. So resilience is awesome. It's a gift. However, being resilient to a fault is something I'm learning to not do and to actually start to really understand where it is playing out in my life, how it's playing out in my life. And what I started to do was actually reflect on where I got this from, like where I got this resilient to a fault kind of energy. And really it started, I want to say, like in my teenage years as a mom. And it was this feeling of, there was a lot of shame around it, of course, and stuff like that, but also this feeling of fuck that, like I'm gonna do it alone, right? And there was just deep fire inside of being like, I don't care, I'm gonna figure it out, I'm gonna do it alone, I'm not going to, you know, accept help from anyone, and I'm not gonna ask anyone for shit. And so that was the feeling, and that's really kind of how I operated my teenage pregnancy. I didn't ask anyone for anything. I worked and worked and worked and went to school and worked some more until I could get everything that I needed. And oftentimes when people would gift me things, I actually would feel resentment. And it almost kind of felt like I know this was not their intention to make me feel like this, but I felt like a charity case. And I kind of felt like they felt sorry for me. And it made me angry, where I know that that's like, it's interesting because I feel like a lot of people, not a lot of people, but what I see out in the ethers is this desire for people to feel
bad for other people. And it's kind of this feeling of like putting like certain things out there on the internet and almost feeding off of people feeling bad for you. And I don't know what that is. That's not my language. I don't get it. I understand telling your story and really helping that to expand other people on their journey. And if that's where it's coming from, that's how it's reflected. So I'm not talking to you if that's what, like, that's, if you're like, hey, I tell stories about dark times in my life. I mean, that's perfect. If it's coming from a place of like, I'm just sharing this story and I'm going to share it with people so that it can help expand them and encourage them on their path, I'm all about it. Like, I'm totally for that. And trust me, if that's the intention, then when you're posting something like that, it does exactly that. It expands people and encourages them on their path. I'm more so talking about when people just put stuff out there all of the time just to get like this feeling of remorse. And I never understood that even as a teenager. I hated that. Like, I didn't like when people felt bad for me. It made me feel angry, frustrated, my not self-esteem. It made me want to dig in deeper to get my life where I wanted it to be without help, because I felt like that was the lowest thing anybody could do, would feel sorry for me. I felt like that was so low. Like, and it's funny, I know it's weird to some people to hear that, but that's literally how it felt within my body. It just felt like, no, like, don't feel bad for me. I'm smart and I'm capable and I'm gonna figure this shit out. Like, I don't need your fucking charity. And that's, but it's like being resilient to a fault. That's where I started to sort of flex that energy in that area of my life. And it kind of, you know, carried out throughout my life. When I think back to my early 20s and really just like working crazy hours all the time, hustling, like working so hard to like make sure my daughter had everything she wanted and more, and also to make sure we were like thriving, you know, in our little $500 apartment. But like, that was thriving for us because we had like a new stove and a new fridge. And so like, that was thriving. And so just stuff like that, you know, like this feeling of, no, I can get myself like a new couch from IKEA if I wanted to. I wanted that feeling. And I think that it helps, but it also helped it. What it did was it forced me to go down different paths in my life that were unnecessary. You know, I'm working unnecessarily hard for so long, not accepting help. And I didn't need to be that way. You know, I could have softened a little bit and not allow myself to harden in that way. I also reflect back to, you know, my 20s and early 30s, staying in job positions longer than I needed to. Maybe you can relate to that. Like, being resilient to a fault and being like, no, this has to work. You know, like, I remember when I got my first real corporate job in fashion, and I was working in the e-commerce department, and I was like, this is it, right? I was like, this is what I'm gonna do, you know? And it was just like, I have to make this work. But the job was not really fulfilling. I did enjoy aspects of it, but being in a building all day long, I mean, this was before my awakening and it wasn't for me. But again, I was like, no, this is what I have to live and die doing, you know? And then all of a sudden the company went bankrupt and I was like, oh, okay, that's a sign to keep it moving and do something else. But I think this resilient to a fault thing is common for entrepreneurs, leaders, healers, moms and dads, honestly, like everybody, those who have really overcome a lot, I feel like is the equal playing field for this type of energy to do its thing. And this is where I see it most playing out. But really being resilient to a fault means that, like I mentioned, you've learned to be strong, adaptable, and keep going no matter what. That's essentially where it's rooted in. However, it's coming to mind right now is a deep understanding that very resilience can sometimes actually become a shadow trait, like I was mentioning. And it's because when it becomes a shadow trait, what do I mean by it's become a shadow trait? Being resilient to a fault, what are the shadow traits of that? It's this feeling of now you're overriding your body signals when it comes to rest and slowing down. So as, you know, many women listening to this podcast know, the moon is not always full, right? Like Mother Earth is not always blooming. There is a rest period on Earth, no matter where you live in the world. And so it's this understanding as human beings, our bodies are giving us signals on when to rest and slow down. And it's like, can we listen? And I think a shadow trait of being resilient to a fault is this energy of overriding the body's signals when it comes to rest and slowing down. Another one is staying in situations, relationships, businesses, models, and launches longer than you should. So that's kind of what I was relating to before. Just staying in something longer than you should just because you feel like you have to and you started it, so you just got to keep going, when that's not really the vibe. It's like, do you see yourself really doing this thing 10 years from now? Is it lighting you up till this day? If the answer is no, then maybe you should start to pull your energy back from places that are actually soul knows. So another shadow trait that I've noticed is taking pride in endurance instead of alignment. Okay, and I'm guilty for this. And I've learned to not be though, really learned to not do this, which is taking pride in like going for it all of the time instead of what's in alignment for me. Now, what I've learned with, I'm still early on in my business is only 3 years old right now, but what I've learned very quickly is I can get a lot more done and get a lot quicker, further ahead in my business by staying in energetic alignment. It's not about just doing so much very quickly all of the time. If you stay in energetic alignment, it's like the greatest biohacking experience you could ever do for yourself, your life, your journey as a parent, your journey as an empty nester, wherever you are in life. It is the biggest biohacking experience if you can allow yourself to stay in energetic alignment with all of the decisions you are making. And that's built on trust. Okay, so this is like trusting. It's like a spiritual muscle, trusting over and over, making decisions, reflect, journaling on those decisions, and really building that muscle of like, okay, when have I gone too far? When is this becoming something that's not in alignment for me anymore? Another one I want to talk about here with being resilient to a fault and having a shadow trait, another shadow trait I want to talk about is when you don't ask for help because you want to figure it all out alone. And I mentioned this before as an example with my teenage pregnancy. That was an example. It's like I could have accepted a lot more help, and I think I would have been able to be a little bit more present with my parenting style if I would have allowed a little bit more help in my life. I think I could have spent more time with my daughter instead of always working or going to school, and I could have been a lot more present with her if I didn't have this hardened feeling that I need to do it all myself and make it all happen because you can't trust anybody, and like, don't take help from a man or don't take help from anyone because you can't trust anyone and stuff. It's like such a hardened, draining way of living life. And I just am so over it. Thank the gods. Like, my spiritual journey really helped me to break away from that. And all of those, it's like slavery codes. I really feel that. Like, it's like this enslaving yourself to a life that you think you have to play it out that way, when actually there's help all around you. And the more that you call in that biohacking experience, the more you become more energetically aligned to your goals and the quicker you're getting there. So I really like the idea of allowing yourself to be helped. You know, now it's like I welcome it. I'm like, oh, you want to help me? Like, yes, like I'm all about it. And that's a big shift for me. I never used to be like that. So I think allowing the help is a huge one. And also another one here that I want to talk about is when you become numb to burnout because surviving has become like a baseline. So people who have been in this energy of being resilient to a fault for a very long time, they can probably relate to not really noticing that they've been in survival until they're not in survival anymore. And they realize like, holy shit, I was in such survival mode. But it's like you become numb to it because you don't even recognize when you're burning out because you're so disconnected from your energetic body that you don't notice it to be true. So those are like a couple of shadow traits of being resilient to a fault that I wanted to call out that I noticed in my past life. And I also noticed in other people that are still kind of operating from this. And I notice it in myself right away if I'm ever shifting out of energetic alignment and into a space that doesn't align. I can literally feel it right away. And I'm like, okay, nope, time to change it up. Time to pivot, time to do something differently because this isn't it anymore. Another thing I want to hit on is when becoming resilient to a fault leans into a shadow. Yes, we talked about that, but I want to put like a twist on that. And I want to talk about when it becomes a coping mechanism. Okay, I kind of want to dig deeper into that area of the shadow traits of being resilient to a fault. And that's really because once it becomes a coping mechanism, that's really when you become blind to all of the ways in which you're doing this. And it's dizzying. Like once you really start to pull back those like onion layers, it is dizzying. Like, oh my gosh, how can this be a thing? And so first and foremost, mistaking survival mode for strategy. So that's a big one. Mistaking survival mode for strategy. Okay. So this is like, oh, you think you're being so strategic in your life and like everything that you're doing. And then you realize like, ooh, that's not me being strategic. That's just me being in survival mode. Like trying to wiggle this into this other thing and make a map out of it, mind mapping my every single aspect of my life. And it's like, no, you're still in survival mode. You're still trying to, it's okay to do all of those things as long as you're feeling an energetic alignment when you do it and you don't feel like you're doing it from a place of wanting to control. That's really what I'm trying to say here. Like that feeling of wanting to control every aspect of how everything comes out is so exhausting and it can really hurt people, like physically, emotionally, mentally. And so it's about pulling yourself out of that energetically and allowing yourself to get out of that survival mode. Because like I mentioned, it can start that shadow trait of what we're talking about today. It can feel like a coping mechanism after a while. And then when that happens, you don't even realize you're doing it. You literally do not realize that you are moving through life this way. And you're all of a sudden you realize, holy smokes, this isn't healthy for me. So another one here is enduring toxic dynamics in business and partnerships because you're strong enough to handle it. So that's another one that's like I've seen within myself and I've worked really hard on that. It's feeling like this isn't healthy, right? And we all know that feeling, especially if you're listening to this podcast, you're somebody who is likely empathetic and an empath in some way. And with that ability to sense, right? The ability to sense the world around you comes this feeling of understanding when there's toxic dynamics within a relationship, within a business, within a home, anything like that, within a job. And this feeling of like, I'm strong enough to handle it, so I'm just gonna be in it anyway. Not healthy. It's like, no, taking a step back and being like, okay, no. Like, just because I'm strong enough to handle it doesn't mean that I need to stay at this job that feels like it's enslaving me. I feel like I have no purpose here. I feel like I have no direction within this environment. I don't even like the people I work with. This isn't healthy for me. And allowing yourself to pull yourself out of those toxic dynamics and understand that it's not about being strong enough to handle it. It really is not. That's a coping mechanism. It's not about that. Another coping mechanism I want to talk about is bragging rights for pushing through instead of checking in. Okay, so that's a thing. Bragging rights because you push through. And really what you should be doing is checking in with yourself and being like, okay, hold the phone. Where am I right now? What is going on in my life? I always tell my generator and manifesting generator clients specifically, you always need to do energetic inventory like every 30 days and see where all of your energy has been. And then start to call your energy back from the places that are no longer in alignment, even if they were a sacred yes at first, and now they're not. It's like, okay, this is not feeling good to me anymore. Let me call my energy back from this space because it no longer feels good to me. And then allowing yourself to be strong within that energy and not feeling bad about it. And understanding that this is positive for me because I'm checking in with where I am and I'm not pushing through instead. Huge. That's like a big one. Stop pushing through and start checking in with yourself, your energy field, your spirit, and see where you are and how does this actually feel for you. I recommend every 30 days, honestly. And that's for everyone, really. It's like check in every 30 days to see where your energy has been and where it's going and make sure that you understand your sacred no. Saying yes to something or no, saying I've been through worse as a reason to stay stuck. So this is a big one. So just feeling like, you know what, it's all good. That's another coping mechanism of what we're talking about today is this feeling of I've been through worse, so it's okay. Is that really how you want to move through life? Like, you want to move through life just saying things like that? Like, I've been through worse, so that's okay. I'm okay with being... No. Like, we're creating the life we desire every single day, and we're manifesting and shape-shifting the shit out of the world to be what we want it to be in everyday life. And we're not allowing yourself to just be like, well, I've been through worse. And then kind of allowing yourself to be in that. And it's not healthy. It's not in alignment. It's not an energetic alignment. It's a coping mechanism to being resilient to a fault. And so it's about getting out of that, allowing yourself to pull your energy back, like I mentioned before, and not using that as a badge of honor to say, I've been through worse, so I'm just going to keep doing this thing. Another one I want to talk about that's a coping mechanism for being resilient to a fault is a high tolerance for discomfort, which blocks your intuitive red flags. So this is the ability to, just as I wrote, having this feeling of like a high tolerance for discomfort and just be like, that's okay. And pushing through anyway. And that's, it's like you're blocking the red flags that are telling you to get the F. And it's like, this isn't an energetic alignment for me. And I'm allowing myself to be resilient to a fault. And this is a coping mechanism. It's not healthy. And so allowing yourself to understand that if you are somebody who identifies with being resilient, you are likely somebody who by nature has a high tolerance for discomfort. Okay. However, don't allow it to block your intuitive red flags. Don't allow it to block your intuition, okay? And when it's whispering or it's giving you that sacral response and it's kind of telling you like, hey, this is not for us. Whatever it be for you, whatever that sign comes for you, as, and allowing yourself to be like, okay, got it. I hear it. I see it. And that's a red flag. I'm done. And I'm not just going to sit here and allow myself to live this life just because I have a high tolerance for discomfort. So another thing I want to talk about is when we need this sometimes. Okay. So I do feel that sometimes we do need to be resilient. Like I mentioned, it's just about staying out of the shadow traits of that. It's also about staying out of the coping mechanisms that can sometimes come with those shadow traits and understanding that. I feel like this is specifically for entrepreneurs and people who are raising children can sometimes be have this feeling of resilience. And I think you need it. You do need a healthy amount of resilience in order to do those two things, because it's just going to be challenging at times and it's about pushing through. And what I feel like when it comes to people who own businesses or even employees who have a desire to move up within that business is they have to be willing sometimes to, you know, do the things that we can't see what those outcomes are going to be, but we're trusting in our guidance and allowing that guidance to pull us in the direction that is going to help us meet our goals. And with entrepreneurs, I feel like they do have to be willing to do things like working on something that doesn't matter, right? Eventually, it won't ever matter. And it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I spent 2 months creating that and it doesn't even matter. Who gives a shit about it? You know, I did that podcast for how many years and then I just put it down and never did it again. It's like, you have to be willing to do those things. It's almost like a weed process on what's working and what's not working, and doing things like another one that's coming to mind right now is like spending money on courses that do not convert. Okay, give me like a hallelujah if you've ever done that. It's crazy. Like when you realize, oh my God, I bought like how many courses over like my entrepreneurship journey, how many initiations and all of these different things, activations and things that I've done. And some of them weren't good experiences, or the course or the thing just simply did not convert. And it's like, okay, that was a waste of money. And I fucking hate myself for that. But it's like, I'm learning, you know, and it's like trusting your intuition. You start to really, really trust your intuition and how it's playing out for you and the ways in which it's pulling you in the right direction. And you keep learning as you go. I mean, we're not experts out of, you know, I feel like we are experts coming out of the womb. And then that becomes deconditioned out of us as we are children and going into adulting and teenage years and adulting and so on. However, I do think it is something that we have to learn to notice. Like, when are we doing this? When are we continuing to do things that are putting us in the hole and it's not converting, doesn't matter. And how can we stop doing that? How can we notice it and stop doing it? I mean, I feel like it's another thing I wrote down here was you have to be willing to chicken scratch your way through life. And that's a huge one. Like, for people who are entrepreneurs or you are an employee working in something and you're trying to work your way up to the next level, whatever, it is this feeling of sort of chicken scratching your way through life in situations and kind of like figuring it out as you go. That they call it like building the plane as you take off, right? If you have to, like, you're going to, is like, takeoff is happening, so fuck it, like, I'm gonna do it. So that's the vibe. And parents, though, I feel like parents spending hours of your life raising kids in hopes that they turn out well to be like a good human being, I feel that for them is being resilient, because every single day you're waking up and you're committing to raising this child correctly, right? The best that you can. Everybody has their days in their moments, but every day as a parent, you're like trying and you're trying to like raise a good human. So I feel like that aspect of resiliency is important, but also knowing when it's going into those shadow traits, when it's developing into coping mechanisms and pulling away when that is happening. So the last part of this episode that I really want to focus on is how to alchemize being resilient to a fault, because I talked about resiliency in its highest expression and its lowest expression. And if you've noticed some of the lowest expressions when we talked about the shadow traits or when we talked about the coping mechanisms of those shadow traits, if you feel like, wow, that's been me for some time, or how do I get out of that? How can I alchemize this energy? I do have a couple of things. So one thing that I truly believe is that there is this fine line between what I'm going to call like sacred strength, right? It's like this inner thing on the inside that's like sacred strength. Like, what's coming to mind right now when I say that is when I did my trip in Egypt. I had to have like sacred strength to be resilient AF to get myself through that 2-week trip, because it was just so bananas. So that is sacred strength. But understanding when you, like I said, it's a fine line between sacred strength and self-abandonment. Okay, so when have you abandoned the self, though, in your journey of, oh, I thought I was just being strong, and like, oops, I just realized I'm actually abandoning myself. I'm being resilient as fuck as in this relationship, and I noticed that I'm actually abandoning my true self within the relationship, and that's not healthy for me. And how can I pull my energy back from that toxic relationship and create energetic space for someone new to come in? And that's just an example. Learning to discern when to push and when to pause is huge. That's another way you can alchemize this resilient to a fault energy, is the ability to discern on when to push and when to pause. This is so important. I can tell you that I've mastered this like pretty much. I still lean into the part where I know I'm not here to force. It's like I go with the flow. I'm not trying to force. I show up and do the job though. Like, I will get that job done. I will do the damn thing. If I say I'm going to do it, I do it and I commit to it, and that's it. And it's because my sacred intuition told me that I should do it. And then I pulled myself through positive resilience with positive resilience, healthy resilience. I use that energy to get me through to whatever I've said a soul yes to. However, learning to discern, like I mentioned, when I am pushing or when I need to just take a pause. Another one is honoring softness as strength. I feel like I did a huge journey with that from like 2017, 2018 to like 2021, 22. I did a deep journey. I'm really understanding what it means to be soft and have that strength and softness. And I feel like around that time is when I really started to heal the witch wound, the sister wound, all of that stuff. Cause I was like, oh, like it's so healthy to be soft and positive and loving. And there's this beautiful alchemy that takes place when you're able to lean into that energy and allow it to guide you and open up new pathways in your life. Another one is asking for help as a new form of bravery. So again, I mean, in the beginning, I gave some examples on when I was being resilient to a fault and I would not ask for help. It's so important to ask for help. There's so many amazing souls out in the world who want to show up for you, who want to help you build whatever you're working on. And it's just about calling those people in and being like, okay, where are they? Who are they? Who are the people that are going to help me build this thing? And allowing that energy to help you in your life. In the last episode, I gave some examples of even like parents who, if they feel like they need help, calling that in and saying, okay, these aspects of what I do in parenting, I love to do, but what is the stuff that really bothers? Picking up the kids from school. How can I outsource that? And I can take over after school snacks was the example I gave. So things like that are really important. Allowing yourself to ask for help and knowing that it's brave to ask for help. You're putting yourself out there. You're opening yourself up to allow others in. It is brave. It is not weak. This one's huge. Choosing alignment over endurance. Okay, we talked a lot about that, but trusting yourself that what's energetically aligned for you is going to hold you and carry you through and into the lifelines that you are trying to create. When you're just forcing, that's what's going to put you on negative lifelines, and it's going to put you in spaces and places you don't want to be. So I hope that these analogies and examples and bullet points that I went through really help, because they truly did help me when I was dealing with being resilient to a fault and allowing myself to lean into my softness, ask for help, and really tune into my energy to understand when it's a soul no and when it's a soul yes, in order to lean into energetic alignment in my life. Because again, I started the episode off with talking about the gifts of resilience, right? So it's like, it's a gift to be resilient. It's amazing. But when does that become a shadow trait? When does that become a coping mechanism to where it's no longer healthy and it's time for us to allow that to fall away from our life and open ourselves up to energetic alignment? And resilience will play a role in anything you are creating and doing in your life, but doing it in a healthy way is the way to biohack this experience and start living the life that you desire. So I hope that this episode has served you all well. I am so about this energy of releasing self-sacrifice and leaning into positivity and the essence of non-energetic enslavement is really what I want to say. When you are no longer energetically enslaved and instead you are living a life in energetic alignment and it feels so good to you. And again, healthy resilience is good. I mean, I still use it all of the time, but it's allowing to yourself to use it in a positive way and not allowing yourself to lean into this energy of being resilient to a fault, which again, will not bring anything healthy into your life. It's going to bring shadow and coping mechanisms that can take years to fall away. So I hope that this episode has served you, and I will see you on the very next episode of the She's a God podcast.
Thank you for listening to the She's a God podcast. Tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I would love to hear from you. Follow me on social media at This Is Jen Torres for all of the latest. And remember, she is a God, and so are you.